Stephen Daniels. Words to all of us today. Hello, Jacob's Well family. We are happy we can be a part of the 10-year celebration, even if we cannot be there in person. It is a blessing connecting with you through the wonderful internet. I don't know how missionaries made it before Facebook. Whether it is an encouraging email or interaction on a heated Facebook debate, we love hearing from you. I, Steve, can remember just after Josiah was born, which was more than 10 years ago, Pastor Eric and Leela came over to our apartment to visit. At that time, I think Jacob's Well was still meeting in someone's house. As we talked about our new experience as parents, I mentioned something to Leela about being ready to play drums for worship. Both Eric and Leela looked a little surprised and said that they were happy to have us come to Jacob's Well. They said they were hoping we would come, but didn't want to make any assumptions. Danielle and I both laughed and said, "Where else would we go? You are our pastors, and you always will be." Not too long after that, Josiah was the first baby to be dedicated at Jacob's Well. From the original food church, which Josiah named, to the epic Easter Sunday where Josiah stood next to Spencer and played his guitar, we have a lot of great memories out of our time at Jacob's Well. I believe that there are just a few people left from the original group that started Jacob's Well. At that time, Danielle and I felt pretty close to all of them, but now I know we are closer in relationship with all of you. Well, most of you. I know there must be some of you who don't even know us. The point is, we still feel part of Jacob's Well family and community. I even have the shirts to prove it, which I proudly wear once a week. Just the fact that we have Jacob's Well shirts is a testimony to the South Sudanese Christians that we work with. It shows them that churches can and should support missions. The churches here in South Sudan and even Uganda don't support missionaries. They view national missionaries as competition. So thank you for sending us Jacob's Well Church and your shirts. They mean more to us than you know. When we moved to South Sudan in 2012, about 80% of our monthly financial support came from Jacob's Well. So really, we could not have started our lives of mission without you. The first couple of years were really hard here in South Sudan. Satan loves throwing crap at Christians, this must be Steve writing, trying to discourage us, harm as we bogged down. But what he doesn't understand is that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him. So really, God is taking all of the crap meant to harm us and uses it as fertilizer for our lives and mission. Even now this year, we're starting to see some good fruit in our lives and ministry. We know that your faithful prayers and financial support has helped to keep us going during those hard times. We would not still be here if it were not seen as a ministry arm of Jacob's Well Church. Thank you so much for partnering with us in this work in South Sudan. We would love to have you come and visit. Everyone is welcome to come. We hope to see all of you back in Spokane in the summer of 2017. Peace and love, the Becks in Africa. That's special. Well, we have a wonderful opportunity to have my brother, Matt, my youngest brother, my middle brother, Mark, who recently became a Christian, and Matt, who, you became a Christian what year? 2002, which is a great answer to prayer, not only to see us three brothers all following Jesus, but also seeing how God has taken very unlikely people and scattered seed all over the place and doing great stuff. It was an honor to have them here. And Matt, maybe you and Tanita want to, how you want to do it? You first, both? Okay, come on up and you can introduce your family and I'll give you the floor and then I'll close it. Let's give Matt and Tanita, Nick and Nisha, a warm welcome. Come on up.
Make them stand up here the whole time. But I just wanted to introduce, for those of you who didn't meet us all yesterday, my daughter Nisha, my son Nick, and my wife Julita. Well, you guys can sit down. So when Eric asked me to speak, there's two things that I immediately thought of that I wanted to share. First is thank you. Really, thank you. I don't know how more we can say it. Just like Steve said, he couldn't be there in Africa. We wouldn't be able to do what we've done without the encouragement and prayers and my brother motivating other people to pray and all of you receiving that and taking us into your heart. And not only us, but the things that we care about. It's like the compassion that you've expressed through that is of God. And it's precious. So thank you very much. It's really difficult to care about other people. So when you're able to do that and care for people you've never met or support missionaries you've never met, it's really of God. So thank you very much. I can't say that enough. So I'm going to share a little bit, and then Tania is going to share. So I'm going to give her a chance. But first, I'd like to read from the Bible. John 6, verse 5 to 12. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So, I want to go back to verse 9. It says, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." But I feel like as soon as he asked me, how can I share to people? I don't even feel like a missionary. I'm less than the small boy. I feel like it's beyond me. But what I've done, what I've tried to do, is give what little skill I have, what little resources or what I can do, and give it to God to do with what he knew he was going to do. Anything that we've done didn't come from anything great that I am. I've always felt that I was a very small person in whatever I've been a part of. So being in Burma doing video work and seeing all the IDPs, there was 5,000 people. They said in Mon Township, when I felt the smallest I've ever felt. It was in April, it was in the rainy season, and families had run from villages to hide in the jungle, and you feel so pathetic. There's nothing I can do. If any of you saw the video I made, there's a woman whose son dies from malaria. You can't speak the language. You can't comfort. You're just there. And it makes you feel, pathetic. But thank God, out of that, I was able to share that story with Eric and other people, and other people were moved by it. And there was opportunity when refugees came to Spokane that Jacob's Well had the heart to help. So I feel like even though my video work or anything I done was pretty small, God's taken it and done big things. And I really want to thank you for helping the refugees. When you're in the jungle, you think nothing good can come out of this. So thank you. I felt the same way after the tsunami in 2004, even before that. I went to Indonesia doing news stories in the southern Thailand where the tsunami hit. And it's just mass devastation. And you feel like you're supposed to do something when you see those kind of things, but what can you do? So the last 4 or 5 years, or even before that, I've been trying to give something to the people there. And you guys have been a part of that too. It wasn't video. It goes back to my roots and skateboarding and surfing and just the things that I know how to do. Just trying to give them to others and honor God in it and trust that God's going to bless people. But especially since we got called into missions to Umpang, being under the influence of great missionaries has been very helpful. And one of the things that became very clear for us, I kind of made a transition from son to father relationship in the Eubank family. I hung out with the son a lot, who I was in with Burma, doing relief work. And then I started hanging out with a father who's more of an evangelist. And he really had an impact on me and kind of pushed me into doing missions full time. So the evangelism part really started to catch on me. I felt like what we can be a part of, evangelism is really eternal. It's not temporary. Not that temporary isn't important, but the evangelism part opens up an eternal window. And I felt like that's something I could give myself to completely. That's when that call came. So the heart of our mission is evangelism. We care about the people that we meet in any way we can. There's kids that are in school today because of your prayers and your support and all those things. But the thing that overrides our work is telling people about Jesus. People had never heard about Jesus, or all they've heard is that he was in Thailand. The textbook says he was he ministered to people for 3 years and died, and it became a big religion. That's all they know. He ministered for people for 3 years. Not very impressive. And he was killed. You know, there is a lot more that they can learn about Jesus than what they learned in their Thai school. So we really feel like we are that voice. That's why we're called to be where we are. You know, Eric brought up the other day, some people might think, why do Buddhists who are relatively happy or okay, why do they need Jesus? And it's really hard to understand maybe from a Western perspective. You have to maybe come and see. Jesus told people, come and see. But I think I have to try. You have to realize Thai Buddhists are not really Buddhists the way you read about Buddhism. They're really animists. They worship spirits. And it's kind of, Buddhism is just kind of a light kind of veneer. But really, they're still Buddhists, or animists. So animists worship everything and fear everything and try to appease everything. And so it's a much less attractive scenario than what Westerners think Buddhism actually, what Buddhism is. It's not really Buddhism. It's more animism. So what does animism look like? In our village, a few times a year, there's a major festival called the Vegetarian Festival. And people think that sounds great, right? Actually, what it means is that once a year for about 10 days, they'll have a group of spirit mediums kind of trucked around to every street, every village, every house, and they kind of ask for offerings, ask to kind of protect people. But it's like an exchange. If you give them money or fruit or things, then they'll do a little ritual kind of in front of your house, and the people are entranced, not only by spirits, but by drugs, and they stick like swords through their faces, and like they'll cut their tongue so they're bleeding, and they're constantly shaking and dressed up like it. Man, it looks so evil. I don't know how you can describe it other than it's just really evil. And even young kids do it. They have young kids do it. The local hospitals don't agree with it. You know, the doctors and nurses know it's terrible, but they can't stop it. And the way they run it is almost like a gang. You can't get in their way when they're coming down the road. You have to get out of their way. And if you don't, a friend of mine actually got his truck kicked by them because he didn't get far enough out. It's really kind of oppressive in every way, spiritually and physically. And so that's the religion, the faith that we live amongst. And people live not only during that celebration, but they live in that mindset all year long. So it's not Buddha finding peace under a tree. It's really animism, spiritual oppression. It's very real. And to have and know what it's like to live as a Christian and know the good things that Jesus has done for me and not to want to share with them those good things, it's impossible for me. Once you see what's really going on, then you're moved by compassion, not by your head, but by your heart. In Matthew, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, before that, it says he had compassion on them before he fed them. So I think that leads us in everything we do. We don't just think about, oh, I want to change this or do this. No, we have compassion on people, and we do what we can and give it to God, and God does the work. Okay, I have more, but I'm going to stop and give it to Tanita and let her share her story a little bit. She grew up a Buddhist, and she converted long before she knew me. So instead of me telling you about that, I'll let her tell you a little bit. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited. I never talked in front of this many people in a different country. So forgive my English. It's far from perfect. But I try to tell my story. Yeah. Thank you again for everything, for prayer and support. Yes. I was born in a Thai Chinese family, Buddhist family. My parents are not devout Buddhists, but we practice Buddhism. I bow down to every idols I see. Even like we drive in the car, we saw idols, we do this. And I have a Buddha image hang around my neck. I had a charm on my wrist to protect me. I jump over bonfire, the small fire, to appease the gods. I did all that. And when I told my kids about this, they were so disappointed in me. They asked me, why did you do that? And I told them, because I didn't know God that time. I didn't know better. And so I followed my parents when I was about 16. And that time, I really want to know about Buddhism. I study a lot, spend the whole year study about Buddhism. And the more I study, the less hope I have. I know three things. There's no forgiveness in Buddhism. I ask one adult, can I say sorry for my wrongdoing? Can I say sorry for the thing that I didn't mean to do it? And she said, no, you have to pay for it. And when I heard that, and I studied about Buddhism, I felt no forgiving, no mercy, and no hope. I know at the end of the day, after this life, I know where I'm going to go, to hell. Surely, because I'm far from perfect. Even I try to do good every day, I make mistakes almost every day also. I cannot make it. And no help. Nobody gonna help me out of this misery. I have to do it on my own. And I feel like depressed. I have no hope. And then I ask my friends around, how can I go to heaven? I don't want to go to hell. And, you know, my friend could not answer me. We are the same age, you know, 16. And one of my friends told me, go ask the Christian or ask the Catholic. They don't have to go to hell. Yeah, and I kept that in mind because, you know, like about less than 2% of the population in Thailand are Christian. So it's hard to find Christian. But when I was 18, one day I got stuck in a very bad traffic with my friend. I think we got stuck there about 2.5 hours. And then I remember she's a Christian. And I asked her, tell me about your God. I want to know about your God. And she told me from Genesis to probably Revelation that time. Because like 2.5 hours, you know, in the bus. That time I felt thankful for the traffic in Thailand. It's only one time I felt thankful. Yeah, she told me about God. She told me about forgiveness. But one thing she told me is kind of off. She said like, pray, try to pray. You pray for 1,000 things, God will give you those 1,000 things. Is that a right theology? Not really, right? But I believe I received God in that bus, that day, in that traffic. I'm so happy, you know, and I could not keep it to myself. I told my brother, and the next week we went to church together. And but, you know, because like the thing about God, about Jesus, is totally, totally different from what we believe. In Buddhism, it sounds simple and good and true, it's fact, but it's natural. It's a natural law. You do good things, you get good things. You do bad things, you get bad things. But when I learn about God, it's supernatural. It's forgiveness. It's grace. It's a thing I cannot find in Buddhism. And this thing, I cannot keep it to myself. I want to see the people I love, the stranger that I find on the street. I want them to know there's hope. Your life is not just dead end. There's a way. And there's only one way, in Jesus. Thank you, you guys. Thank you very much.
Just to give you a few stats so you understand, there's 65 million people in Thailand, and 2% are Christian. That means 68.1% unreached. It's a lot. 92% Buddhist, 5% Muslim. And actually, this stat says one, but it's probably a little bit more than that. As you can see, that means that every Christian witness is valuable in Thailand. Much different than the reality we face with so much opportunity to listen, to hear. You don't have to go very far without at least being provoked with some opportunity or next step that could be there for a seeker. Not the case in their country. So to partner with them, to hear their story, to celebrate with the fact that not only Tanita, you know, my brother became a Christian in Thailand. I mean, that's really, I think I read that the, you know, yearly, maybe a couple hundred people, that's a general missions stat for how many people respond to the gospel in Thailand. I mean, so the fact that you could become a Christian in Thailand is a miracle above and beyond that. So that gives you a taste. It gives you a face. You kind of now, they don't look this big. You know, they're bigger. They're not on print. And, you know, my hope is that you would make connections, internet, email, and that we would just continue to strengthen all of these relationship bonds. And in the next 10 years, obviously, the next step is to go where they are at and where the Becks are at. So that'll be the next church missions trip, is figuring out how to take a team and come and see. Because, you know, as our video showed, there is something invaluable about going and being able to see the world you're praying about through the eyes and the hearts of people that live there. It's always a greater impact. And it strengthens our relationships and our commitments to continue to work and partner with God for the future. Amen. And as people grow up and have new calls, new storylines will be added, right? These are all storylines that God just helps us to, allows us to be a part of. And our back wall there on by the door, that painting speaks of our international vision, which is a lot of images in that painting that kind of capture the opportunities and the challenges. It is a battle. There is a dragon. There is resistance to the truth. There is sacrifice that needs to be overcome, but great opportunity. If you talk to Matt and Tanita, Nick and Nisha, if you talk to Steve and Danielle and Josiah and Anna, or you talk to Margaret, you'll hear about a lot of those sacrifices. And in closing, I just want to remind us what Paul said to pray about. He said in Romans 15:20, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. And then in Acts 20, he said this, or it says this of Paul. It says, now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, face, and complete the task that the Lord has given me. And the task is to testify to the good news of God's grace. Isn't that powerful? And Jesus said to all of us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And that's a beautiful thing that we have been able to partnership, go, do, partner with, see. I don't know if you're reading Jeanette's updates from her work right now with Wycliffe Bible Translators. She's sharing about all the things that God's doing in her and projects she's a part of right there on the border in Southeast Asia, and doing stuff in areas that are very needy. Others of you have ambitions and callings and leadings, And our goal as a church, part of our mission and ministry is to not only send and support and welcome the nations here and to be a part of them and to have very diverse community, but it's also to partner with other people that might be doing stuff. So you never know what your heart or your passion or your interest might lead to and how it might engulf a whole community of people. It might lead to crazy things like inviting people, a five-member family, to live in your one bedroom in your house. It might mean you just build friendships with people that you don't know. It might mean that you go short time. It may mean that you spend your life in other places of the earth. I don't know where your zip code is. God may say just keep it 509, or he might change it radically. We never know. But if we're in a community that has God's heart and his mind, some of us will stay and some of us will go. All of us will partner together for God's work in the world. Amen. Amen. So we want to close. We want to pray over the Blowers, the Thailand Blowers, and send them off loved and prayed for. And thank you, everybody who came out yesterday and just talked to them and hung out. And you're able to spend a lot of time doing that. But Matt and Tanita and Nick and Nisha, if you guys could come up, we want to just close in prayer over your family. We'll line you guys up here together, and then we don't have a lot of room, but anybody that wants to come up and surround them and lay hands on them and bless them with your love, we're going to finish our week of celebrations with just a power tunnel here. You can get in front of them. You can just squeeze in anywhere you want. Let a few of you just pray who feel a bubbling forth, and then I'll close.
Thank you so much that has been faithfully serving with their loaves and fishes in Thailand. We ask that you join our hearts even more firmly with theirs. And we ask that as they return, that you bless them. Bless them with everything that they need and bless them with insight as to what they're to do. And we ask that you bless them with fruitfulness.
Lord, we thank you for getting a hold of all of our hearts and minds and lives. We know that we wouldn't go unless you sent, unless you put your love and your courage and your spirit within us, Father. We just thank you for this family. They've all been called to have a story, Lord, and to influence and shape and sow seeds and reap and harvest. We pray, Holy Spirit, you just continue to empower and release. We pray over everything that's been spoken, every word, every gospel deed or word spoken or done, that you would water that like a heavy shower and that it would spring forth in the days to come. Lives and hearts would be converted, Lord, that people would be healed and families would be touched and children would be steered away from other directions, that people would leave anything, Lord, that is not truth and turn to Christ and be filled with the truth and life and light of the gospel. Lord, protect them, guide them, be with them in every decision. Give them wisdom, Father, where they're in need. Protect them from every demonic influence. Shield them, Father, with just divine authority and power, that Lord, spirits would leave, be cast out, would bow before the name of Jesus, and that, Lord, the land and the people and the villages and the seasons and the times would be claimed by the power and purposes of Christ, that you would dethrone every evil power, and that Christ in his glory would be exalted in Kalak and in the region, Father, and through their lives and ministry. Thank you for everybody who's invested them, every seed sown, every prayer prayed, every dollar given, every investment from the Eubanks, Father, every discipling, mentoring. Bless everybody that's a part of this under-resourced and struggling mission in an area, Father, of great need. Love this country to Jesus, I pray. And bless his family and the rest of their trips. And partner people together with them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 10 years. We got 10 more to in our sights. Let's give God a wonderful praise. Yes, ma'am. Food church next week. Yes. First weekend of every month, food church. Well, Father, we thank you. Bless, Lord, everything that's been spoken. Send out all that little Facebook Live stuff into people's lives. May they be blessed as well. And Lord, thank you for every person that's come through these doors over the years. We thank you for the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything in between, Jesus. Help us to be more like you and to be a people, Lord, that point everyone to Jesus. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Enjoy some cake and love on them, and enjoy your day. God bless.